Let's take our Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 51. Psalm 51. I'm so thankful that Almighty God would, in His indescribable mercy and grace, tell a man what he is by nature. I'm so thankful. Leave a man to himself, and he will think that he's okay. But if God is pleased to bring a man to see himself as he is, and show that man His mercy in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, for me, by the grace of God, I think I can almost, I pray I can, enter into what Paul did say. There is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. But thanks be unto God that God sent a preacher. I pray the Lord bless the word today. I pray that He bless it to our hearts, our understanding. Quite a few years ago, I was in the home of a friend. And this friend had come to a place where basically we find David being. He had found himself in his mind thinking that he didn't want to continue being where he was as far as his marriage was concerned. And I was talking to him, and I knew what he was getting ready to do. So did his wife. And I asked him this question. I said, I want to hear it from you. How are you going to justify this? How do you justify this in your mind? I said, you're telling me that you're just going to give it all up. And you found somebody else. And he said, when I stand before God, I'm going to get in the same line with King David. Well, my answer to that would be this. If you stand in line with King David, which was a foolish statement, but then let's also consider David's confession. If you're going to justify what you're getting ready to do, and I'm going to tell you this one thing, you better read the whole text, find out what God Almighty did for David. I've entitled this message, A Believer's Confession. Now, surely we don't have any doubt, having seen the record of David's sin, and the record of God's long suffering and mercy to send a prophet to expose and correct David. Now, understand something. What we've just seen in that first message, here is man by nature and God's mercy to send a preacher. And for God to bless the word to the heart. If God didn't bless that word to David's heart, grant him repentance. Grant him restoration. wouldn't have made any difference. It would have been just words. But something marvelous happened. The Scripture sets forth, and I'm thankful for this. I want you to look in your Bibles, right above Psalm 51, before the first verse starts. In my Bible, it says this, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Here's what's happened. Here's what happened. Almighty God, in His infinite mercy and grace, and praise be unto His holy name, because of the blood of His Son, that God Almighty had mercy. A just God and a Savior had mercy on this sinner. And David, the Scripture says, according to that heading up there, wrote down what was in his heart. And he took the words and he gave them to the chief musician. Put these words to music. And these words are going to be sung in praise unto our God for His indescribable goodness, mercy, and grace to me. The Scripture begins. Here's David's confession. I see what we all are by nature. I saw David. That's Margaret. Let's just be honest about it. There's us by nature. Here's God Almighty in mercy and grace sending a preacher. Do you have any idea the mercy of God that God caused your path to cross with a preacher of the gospel of God's grace? And didn't leave you in just false religion. Verse 1, Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Before David utters another thought, he appeals to the mercy of Almighty God. Mercy. Mercy. As we said, 9 months at least had gone by. And David had not uttered one word of remorse until God sent a preacher. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Somebody say, well, my old conscience would break my heart. No, it will not. Your conscience was the only thing that Almighty God blesses to the restoration, to the salvation, to the regeneration of a sinner. The only means is the gospel of God's grace. Have mercy. Oh, the glorious thought. Tell me one more time about that prodigal. Tell me one more time how this boy told his dad, I'll take what's coming to me. I'll thank you for that. I'll take it right now and I'm gone. I'm out of here. And he took it, he spent it all on righteous living. And when he came to want and would have eaten the husk, they fed the hogs. And the Scripture says, and he came to himself. Oh, that God Almighty would cause men, women, to come to themselves. What a glorious picture, illustration, story, parable, truth of God's grace. This boy said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to my dad and I'm going to tell him, I said, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of the hired hands. I'll be fine. And it says, and his dad saw him afar off. I think about that. How far did Almighty God see his own when he saw them in everlasting, eternal love and mercy in Christ? He's always seen them. They fell in rebellion. But oh, the backdrop of God's mercy calls a man. Have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Lord, all that is recorded before you and in my conscience, erase it with the holy and precious, glorious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blot out my transgressions. The only substance that can blot out, Lord, before you, not before others. Maybe I can hide it from you. But Lord, blot out my transgressions. Wash me, verse 2, thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me, Lord, in the blood, the fountain that's open for sin. What I have done, what I am by nature, is awful. And I need you. I need you. And you only. Lord, to wash me, to bathe me from the pollution of sin. Now, but I want you to notice something. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Pardon me. Pardon me, but I want you to look at the next request. Cleanse me from my sin. Now, what a request. I want you to consider with me for just a second what he just asked. Lord, pardon me for what I know I've done. Wash me thoroughly from my sins. And then, Lord, let there be no record of it. What a request. Lord, I ask you to forgive me, but cleanse me. Justify me. Make it pure. Make me uncorruptible. Boy, I'm telling you, a believer appealing to the mercy of Almighty God asks for only that which God Almighty can do. Lord, would you absolutely purge it? Lord, cleanse me. That effect of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sin is filthy to think on, to speak of, to hear of, and to do it. And only you, Lord, can wash me, cleanse me, and justify me before your sight. Oh, what a request. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Lord, I can lay this transgression at no one's feet but myself. Let me tell you the heart of an unbeliever. What my thought. What my fault. You drove me to this. Your actions made me do this. It wasn't me. I tried to do the right thing. David said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I confess what I am. A believer's confession is to lay himself honestly before God, appealing to God's mercy, when a believer asks for mercy, it's because he knows he needs mercy. Having our sin ever before us is to be convinced of it, to be troubled under it, to be grieved over it. This is the voice, this is the heart of a believer. Here is a believer. Two natures. That nature that sinneth not, and that nature that does nothing but rebel. My sin is ever before me. My friend, you that know Him, you'll go to your grave grieving over what you are by nature and rejoicing all the while in the mercy of Almighty God. Lifting up your heart in praise, in adoration, in thankfulness unto Him who is altogether worthy. Worthy that He would show mercy. I hear those words, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Lord, have mercy on me. Against Thee, verse 4, Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Though we can surely understand that great wrongs, injustices are committed against our fellow creatures, It makes me so sick of myself when I say something. It's just disrespectful. Someone I know, someone I love, I'm thinking, Lord, put a watch on my mouth. Set a watch. Lord, have I never learned? Against Thee only, have I sinned and done this, listen to this, in Thy sight. My sin may be hidden before the eyes of others. You may never know what I really thought. You probably won't. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to tell you. But before the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, against Thee and Thee only have I done this in Thy sight, in defiance. While You look on, not ignorantly, but arrogantly. David said that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Lord, You're right. Lord, You're pure. Lord, You're holy. And I'm wrong. And Your law is just. And I broke it. And Lord, You're the merciful God. Have mercy on me. And whatever, Lord, You choose to do with this sinner, according to Your good pleasure, if I be without chastisement, I'm none of Yours. As I've told you so many times before, I never spank my children except for rebellion, disobedience. And I had to do it out of love. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. David said, against You I've sinned. I've done evil in Your sight, that You might be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Hold your finger right there. I want to turn over to 2 Samuel. I want to read you something. 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. When David said that Thou might be justified, Thou might be justified when Thou speakest and clear when Thou judgest. It is by the mercy and grace of God that God chastens His children. There's no parent in here that's going to let their child just go on in rebellion if you love them. Not if you love them. You're not going to let them do it. You won't let them do it. David said, Lord, that You might be right. I've done this against You. That You might be justified. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, Verse 10, David's heart. What had happened? David had numbered the nation of Israel. He counted them. He numbered them. Shouldn't have. And David's heart, verse 10, 2 Samuel 24:10, David's heart smote him after they had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly in that I've done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I've done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And you know, here's what's happened. David numbered the people. He shouldn't have. Just wait on God. God will take care of his people. You don't have to count and see how much you got. How strong are we? How big are we now? What can we do? He numbered the people, and he wasn't supposed to. And God sent a prophet to him. And God said, I'm going to offer you three things. Now you choose which one of them that you want, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in the land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land, in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said the wisest thing he could say. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. What he's saying is, Lord, I don't want to choose. Lord, I've sinned against you. And God said, I'll let you choose one of these three. Which one do you want? And David said, I don't want to choose. Lord, whatever you send me is according to your mercy. I'm in a great strait. I'm not going to choose. He told the prophet, he said, go tell God I'm not going to choose. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan, even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil, said to the angel, destroy the people, it's enough. Stay now thine hand, and the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. David said back in Psalm 51, Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Lord, do to me whatever is good in your sight. Lord, I've done this. I'm a rebel against you. And whatever you choose to do, it's according to your mercy. My dear friend, listen to the indescribable mercy of God. For rebels, sinners such as we are, God chose to make His Son sin, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in you. Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave it to me and you to choose? God Almighty, Lord, that you might be justified, clear, perfect, and holy. Lord, you dealt with me. You dealt with me in a substitute that you might be just, justified when you judged. He judged my guilt and all the guilt of all His people in His Son. How thankful I am that God didn't leave it to my free will. And now, for those that He loves right now in time, those that He chastens because He loves and brings them to His own, Paul says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, Oh my, listen, I sinned against Him. I've done this evil in His sight, and that He might be justified, right, clear, holy, perfect, when He speaks, and be clear when He judges. He dealt with me in absolute mercy and grace. Behold, verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, what I am, what I did, it wasn't a slip. I wasn't just a victim of my environment. This, what I am by nature, is a result of my total corruption of nature. I was born a sinner. My sin is the evidence of transgression. No one can be blamed for what I've done but me. Behold, verse 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Lord, it's not pretense. Not pretense that you're looking at. Your desire, your love, you demand faithfulness. Faithfulness. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Lord, what you demand, you provide. Lord, what you demanded of me, you demanded absolute truth in the heart. Lord, you provided yourself a lamb. What you demanded, what you desired, Christ. Lord, He's the one that stands for me. He's the one that answers for me. You desire absolute faithfulness. Oh, make me to know Christ, who is my wisdom. Lord, teach me of Him. Teach me afresh of Him. Lord, help me. Purge me, verse 7, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop. I went back and looked where hyssop, what the use of hyssop was. Little bushes, handful of little bushes. And they would take hyssop in the land of Egypt. They slew the animal, they slew the lamb. And after they slew that paschal lamb, they took the blood, they took hyssop, and they sprinkled it on both the doorpost side and top. And the Lord said, you get behind it, you get inside. And I'm going to come through tonight. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm going to pass over you. David said, Lord, purge me with His. Lord, apply the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Sprinkle the blood of His atonement upon me. Purge me, Lord. Oh, how faith is beheld right here. Man by nature, he puts all of his faith and all of his rest and all of his stuff that he can do. I did the other. David said, Lord, if you purge me with the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be clean. No other way. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Faith sees, beholds the blood of Christ as the only cleansing. And I'm talking about faith that beholds the blood of Christ plus nothing. Nothing. I've said before, you rest in your profession of faith. You rest in your walking down or your church membership or your baptism or your eating of the Lord's Supper, or you rest in anything else. And I'm telling you, David said, "Purge me with hyssop. Apply the blood to this sinner. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Make me to hear." I want to just turn over to, I'll read this to you again, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7, let me just cause it. David says, "Make me to hear. Make me to hear." Zechariah 7, verse 8 to 11, "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, nor the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." Listen to this. "But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear." Are you telling me that man by nature does not desire to hear God's word? Yes, sir, I'm telling you that. Yes, sir, I'm telling you that. David said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness. Lord, give me ears." I confess that man by nature resists to hear your voice. And Lord, if you're silent, and justly silent, if you choose to be silent, can you imagine if God is silent to a man or a woman? If Almighty God chooses to allow a man to just, God speaks and they pull the shoulder back, "No, I don't want to talk." This is what God has said. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Lord, cause me to hear the glorious gospel. My ears have been heavy. I have no desire to hear your voice, but Lord, now I do. Lord, now I do. Make me to hear your voice of forgiveness. Tell me, as I've said before, tell me one more time. I've heard this before. I know you brought it up before, but tell me one more time. Tell me how God put away my guilt. Tell me how God justified me eternally by the blood, by the evidence of faith. Tell me how God Almighty set forth that a man is justified as he speaks out of the abundance of a new heart. Tell me that again. Tell me how a believer is set forth in the Scriptures. Make me to hear, cause me to hear with joy that the bones which thou hast broken, Lord, the very pain of my heart when I see myself compared to the agony of a broken bone, that I may rejoice and be glad for your mercy. Have you noticed that David, heretofore, and I can tell you from till the end of the chapter, He didn't set forth anything rejoicing in what he had done. David knew, "I did all the rebellion. God showed all the mercy. Almighty God, have mercy on me. Hide, verse 9, thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Lord, justly and mercifully, look not upon my sins in justice, in judgment, in wrath. Erase them and let the account be canceled. David was ashamed, and all God's people are. Here's a man that's speaking, asking for that which Almighty God has already done for him. When David asked for mercy, you think God had already had mercy on him? When he asked him, "Create within me a clean heart. Blot out my transgressions," you think the Father had already seen the blood slain, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world? You think so? This is the evidence of life. Ask for God's mercy. Ask. It'll be given. It already has. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. Only a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, broken under the weight of his old man, asked for that which the Lord alone can do. Create in me a clean heart, O God. This is what a believer is concerned about. Lord, I desire to stand before you clean, pure. And according to your word, this is only in your Son. Lord, view me in him. Lord, look upon me robed in his precious righteousness. Lord, renew within me a right spirit, a constant spirit, a steadfast spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, don't abandon me. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'll not leave you in sorrow and sin. David says, concerning what the Lord has already promised, Lord, don't cast me away. Now, I'll tell you this. There's some record of some that Almighty God left in themselves. Cain. How about Judas? Demas. Saul. Pharaoh. Simon Magus. What was the difference in them and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the difference? The grace of God. The grace of God. A believer realizing the glorious gospel of God's grace and thinking to himself, Lord, there were some multitudes that followed you and followed you no more. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. Lord, if you're there, I have everything. I have all. Lord, if I have not you, I have nothing. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Withdraw not the comfort of your Spirit from me. Desert me not to my own weakness. In the very midst of when I would have to discipline my children, and they felt the sting of discipline, I would always do this. I'll always sit them in my lap, and I'll always hug them, and I'll tell them, I love you. I love you. You're mine. And that's the reason I have to discipline you. But don't you ever forget whose you are. Whose you are. You're mine. And I love you. And I'm going to teach you. By the grace, Lord, take not thy Spirit, Holy Spirit, from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation, your salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Obviously, David had remembered former times of fellowship. A time when he was aided by the Lord, killing a bear to Goliath. And the Lord was with him. It was 5 stones. The fellowship that Almighty God allows His people. And then when they realize, see something of what they are, the grace of God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Cause me, Lord, to remember. We eat of the Lord's table. Why do we eat of the Lord's table? The Lord said, you do this in remembrance of me. And we take and we eat. We say, Lord, what that bread and that cup represents, your broken body, your shed blood. Lord, I remember why. And I remember the mercy of God. Thank you. Uphold me by your free spirit. Lord, only you can keep me from falling. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, those that are qualified to express to others the pain of rebellion are those that have felt the pain of their rebellion. Experience. Boy, what a teacher. and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Not that regeneration is wrought within a sinner any other way but by the Holy Spirit's blessing and power. But David sets forth here that by the grace of God, when a believer is shown what he is, God restores him. And he sets that forth. Almighty God sets forth here, I will teach transgressors, just like me, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Remember when the Lord told Peter what he was, and Peter, of course, had boasted of himself and told the Lord how faithful he was going to be. In Luke 22, verse 31 to 34, the Scripture says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, Peter was already a regenerated man. But the Lord was telling him, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. When you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that you know me. Peter, Satan has desired to have you in sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when the Lord teaches him what he is by nature and God's mercy to keep him, strengthen me, brethren. Strengthen. Strengthen. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, only before you, only before you can I be delivered of the blood guiltiness of what I am, what I've done. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Lord, I don't even know how to thank you. Open my mouth as you open the mouth of Zacharias. Teach me. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. It's not the pictures, it's not the types. If that were the desire of your heart, I'd do what I could. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifice that Almighty God accepts is the blood of His Son, the honor to His Son, as the Spirit of God teaches His people. And they, as kings and priests unto Him, offer the sacrifice of praise. Oh, the value of a broken heart. The sacrifices of God, a broken heart. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, how tender is the heart of a renewed sinner concerning that which is tender to God. Lord, I was an embarrassment to you, to your people. Caused the heathen to blaspheme. Lord, I pray, do good in thy good pleasure to your church. Lord, those that I was disrespectful, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, call out of darkness your people. As lively stones, build that which alone you can build. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Now, I know we no longer bring the sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats, but the wording of David sets forth the sacrifice of every believer. This is the verse that I referred to a minute ago. By him, Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him, to His name. Thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. Praise, honor unto Him for the sake of Christ. When it says with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, what it is, it's symbolically believers hold nothing back in their thankfulness before the Lord. I know we see in part. I know we know in part. I know right now we realize some of the frailty of this life. But God's people, they're truthful. By the grace of God, by a new heart with Him, truthful of themselves, truthful concerning their need of Him, and truthful concerning their thankfulness. As I said, not if we are, not if we will be, but we truly are. The sin of David, picture of every man by nature, the mercy of God, sent a preacher to his own, and the confession of what Almighty God teaches that man, how that man responds to God in thankfulness, adoration, praise for the precious blood of Christ. Never, never looking to himself. If David looked at himself, no hope there. For Christ's sake.